wives or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. All right, we're going to continue talking and discussing the millennium today. If you look in your notes, front page, I'm sorry, it's been a long time. I tried to do some things which maybe I was successful with, maybe I wasn't. But about every time election rolls around, American Christians are all nervous because they want the good guys in, and they don't want the bad guys in. Is that about right? Honestly, is that about right? If we could just get the good guys in, America would be a perfect place. Anybody have a problem with that? Mike? Well, we know who the good guys are. They're us. Good guys are always us. Who else would they be? Hey, look up here. Who else would they be? They're always us. I used to hear that when I was in Bible college, man, and he would go down a row. This guy ought to be president, this, you know, pastors. And I'm like, half of these pastors he mentioned are known criminals today. One of them was a child molester for 50 years. I'm like, I don't think I want them in charge. You say, are pastors all that way? Well, I don't think so. But my point is what? I think most Americans think if we could just get our group in, man. I have on the board, these are little words. I have Superman. What's a monarchy, Superman? Oh, you got to talk to Tupper, huh? It's a what? Yeah, you have just one person. It could be a king, could be a queen, could be a president, could be a dictator. Yeah. All right, Tupper, what's a democracy? Do we live in a democracy? Ron says no. We live in a mess is what we really live in. It's a form of democracy, yes. But what's that form, Tupper? Tell me. Basically is, how about this? But in reality, do we exactly live in a democracy, Tupper? We live in what's called a Republican form, which is we have people who represent us. Is that correct? And those people are supposed to represent their constituents. Yes or no? They're supposed to. That can be very difficult in many areas. Very difficult. If you're living down where I'm from, and most counties are probably 80% one stripe and 20% or less the other, pretty easy to represent that 80%. What if you live in a district that's 51 against 49? It's very difficult to really represent them. I'm just speaking of my brother-in-law's county. He was county clerk in Menard County, which is right by Sangamon County, which Sangamon County is Springfield. And he told me he thinks it was 82%. I think he told me 82% were of one variety. You say, were they the good guys or the bad guys? See, there's your problem. It's Illinois, you choose. All right, who else back there looks smart? I better stick with the Tupper and Superman here, but we'll go with the right here in the middle, the guy's trying to stay quiet. Mr. Maluski. What's an oligarchy? Do you have any idea? Well, that could be what's America, too. No one's in charge. No, oligarchy has a different connotation. Yes, sir. Yeah, oligarchy is a small group. Well, but a small group. Now, why am I even asking this question? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. In the millennium, what form of government, Ron, are we going to have of these three? Yes, but what is the problem with a monarchy, pure monarchy, in our culture? It demands someone who is wise, someone who is, how about this, absolutely good, yes, and just, Have you met any of those people? Well, you, of course, are that way, but I mean the rest of us. You know what's interesting? Now, the Halls don't have this problem because they only have one child. So what's Carrie going to do? Say, you were nicer to my other child? You know, it doesn't work. But if you have two children, the children think the parents weren't just towards one of them. Did you know that? There were four in my family. If I brought all four of us here and had each one of us explain our childhood, you know what you would find? It was like four different childhoods. It's like, did we grow up in the same home? So an oligarchy is a small group. So I'm going to ask this heavy question now of everybody here. Who, you teach history? So which form of government is America today? Or when it was founded, what was it really founded to be? A democracy? Yes. But it actually did what? We have an element of this. We have an element of this. And we have an element of this. Is that right? What group is this? I think this is called the Supreme Court. Is that right? And I think this is called the President. And this is called Congress, both the House and the Senate. I will tell you this, there's a lot of people that think America was based on a democracy. And there's no way. You can have a democracy if you have this. You can't even have if you have this many in the room. Well, we're going to go to lunch today. Well, I don't like that place. I want to go to some other place. I don't like potatoes. So sooner or later, somebody's got to choose, yes or no. All right. Why do you bring all this up? Now, you have in your hand, we're not going to read it because we don't have time. Notice in the front of this thing, the structure of government must furnish the proper, what? Checks and balances between the different departments. Now, this is written in the year 1788. I will just be ugly. If you can't read it, think about how much smarter than those people are than you. That's all you got to do. Look down at the very bottom, to the right, underlined. It may be a, page turn please, reflection on what? Didn't I talk about human nature over the last 2 weeks? Folks, these are our founding fathers. Look at me. Our founding fathers did not create a government of a certain variety, meaning Democrats as opposed to Republicans, Republicans opposed to Democrats. Why? Because they knew something. People basically good or people basically evil? All right, well, we're going to do this before we go. I am going to get to the Bible today, I promise. Are you ready for this? If you're on the left in America today, everything is racism, sexism, classism, couple of others. Racism is non-white against white. Sexism is what? Have you heard of the Me Too movement? Females against males. And by the way, some of you have slept through this for weeks. Do you understand that Kavanaugh right now, there now went back to his high school. Didn't I say that? Where do we go next? Grade school? Kindergarten? Yes. Birth? Hold it. Hold it. If you were in Rome, they would go back to your parents and your grandparents. Look, folks, this ain't no joke. Wait a minute. Let's ask this. Well, I'm going to put classism is, of course, poor and rich. But that's not the question. What's the real question? Who are the good guys, Frenchie? List them. Right here. Who are the good guys on the left? The poor, females, non-white. Do you ever listen to people? That's the way communism and Marxism has always worked. Stirs things up from below, puts groups in opposed to each other, and one group is good and the other group is? What does the other side do? It's not Nazism necessarily, but it would be on the right. What does it do? Same kind of thing, but except it usually does this. It is a form of patriotism that I despise. We've already tried it in this country in the late 1800s, by the way. Some of you have slept through those classes. It was called this. You ever heard of it? Cliffy, you don't realize when that thing first started, people flocked to it. Do you know why? It was pro-Christian, pro-respecting women, pro-respecting families, male leadership. But the problem is, on the right, there's also usually a historical element. History. So if you were in Italy, we want to restore the grandeur of Italy. If you're in Germany, you want to restore the grandeur of the Aryans, whoever they are. In the South, it was the grandeur of the white people. If you actually read what the KKK taught, most of it you're thinking, well, that's fine. Until you realize what they're really doing is this. Look up here. It's the same nonsense. It's just on the other side. My group is, and your group is. There you go. And by the way, if you ever hear Trump speak, he does this regularly. Mexicans are bad. Well, that could be true, especially if they're related to Frenchie. But look, folks, our country is a nation of what? Look around this room. Now, what is true patriotism in America? I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. We have certain documents called the Declaration of Independence, called the Constitution, things like the Federalist Papers. I believe patriotism is to the ideals and the ideas and the virtues of our nation. Not towards poor women and non-white. Or the other side. You see, be very careful about your patriotism and your waving of flags. You've got to be careful because we tend to go these two on one side or the other. And as a Christian, I'm against both sides. I am very much for patriotism of the values. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Yes, I believe that. And by the way, my family for generations has. But on the one side of racism or potential racism of looking at people who are immigrants as bad, we're all immigrants, including the Native Americans. Mike. Well, there's several things. Those are the big three. But may I ask you an honest question? Do you really think this is going to be any different? Your son-in-law said to me, he's from India, and he's pretty bright. He despises anti-intellectualism. Have you listened to Trump's speeches? He cannot take a sentence from here to here to here to here. He makes a sentence, then he makes another sentence. It is the most convoluted mess I've ever heard. Speaking to bobbleheads. Now, you say, you hate... No, I tend to vote conservatively on principle, not because of that foolishness. Now, let's read the rest of this, and I'll go to the Bible after that. I just want you to know where we come from. So I'm not real interested in a rah-rah white people, but nor am I interested on the left hating everybody that's not minority. First of all, folks, the problem with minorities, in case you haven't been listening for the last 40 years, is this subclass, they just get smaller and smaller. Because this is based on minority. So now what if you're lesbian, black, Native American, you're in the most privileged position of all. That's called intersectionality. I know you know what that means. That's the game that's being played. All right. Here is our founding fathers' view. It may be a reflection on human nature that such devices should be necessary to control the abuses of government. But what government is government? But what is government itself? But the greatest of all reflections on human nature. If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. Why? Why? Human? Are you an angel? Do you know anybody that's angels? I'll let you read the rest of it. You know what the rest of it does, folks? In language that you're going to struggle with, and there'll be two or three words you won't know, it's going to talk about these three branches and the why they set this up in a way where they all have their own kind of power, but none of them has any kind of absolute power. Otherwise, they fight each other. That was the way our country, look at me, that's the way it was founded. Because if you put good people in charge, you find out they're not good. That's the reason in this country, when George Washington was a president for two terms, nobody dared even attempt to get elected more than two terms, because George Washington set the precedent until FDR. And the moment FDR was out of office, then we passed a constitutional amendment, said, no more of this foolishness. Two terms, you're out. What's the first thing they do in Venezuela and those kind of countries? The president all of a sudden is president for lifetime, which means he's a dictator. By the way, you go to the Philippines, Marcos did some many wonderful things his first few years in power, and guess what he became after a while? A dictator. I mean, this isn't something that's unique to one place. All right, let's look in your notes, please. That's all of Pastor Warren's political talk for the rest of this next month or two. Oh, it is. It is. I wanted everybody to understand our country was not built on a utopian dream. It was actually built the opposite. It was built thinking, oh, we got problems. People are sinful. People want power. People want to be in charge. People want to own the law. So we got to set this up where everybody's fighting everybody else. And by the way, their greatest fear, I'm lying. I've already said that. I'm not going to say anymore. Their greatest fear was this. This is the reason even senators were not elected directly for a long time. They didn't want people elected directly except one group. You know that thing called, what did they call it, Electoral College? That was not an accident. They did all of this stuff because they realized the big problem is always going to be monarchy or the mob. All right. Look in your notes on the page one. I'm going to repeat what we talked about last week, if I can, and then we'll finish out real quickly the front, the back, and we'll be done with this. I got two more concepts that are important on understanding the millennium. I say toward a definition of the millennium. We've already covered it, but I will mention it again. The sovereign righteous rule and reign of the Messiah or Christ. Those are the same words. When you say Messiah, you said Christ. If you say Christos, you said Mashiach. Those are the same words. One Greek, one Hebrew. It is on the earth. And this is very important because as I gave several weeks ago, and I'll pull this over here where you can see. No, I'm not mad at anybody. There's no anger, no hatred. There's good Christians that disagree with me. But in our church, in the history of our church, and most fundamental Baptists of American variety is this. We believe in this. There's some sort of a stair step. There's the now. There is the millennium. And then there is eternity, the new heavens and the new earth. This is going to last 1,000 years. This is on earth. Today you will figure out why this, I believe, this has to be on earth. Well, this will be both earth and heaven in the sense of, but it will be a new earth and heavens. And I'm not going to describe what all that means. Pastor Kwok gets all the hard questions whenever I'm done here. So that's the basic idea. All right, in your notes. So it is the sovereign righteous rule and reign of the Messiah on the earth from Jerusalem and the promised land. And where do we get this? Friends, if you're not premillennial, meaning if you do not believe in a millennium, when you're reading the Old Testament, this is what happens. And I'm not being mean. I have good people that I love that hold these positions. You just have to skip chapters of the Bible. Because there's so much reference to Jerusalem, 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 and all that has to be spiritualized. That's talking about eternity. And that's fine if you want to do it, but you're never going to understand any of the minor prophets. You're not going to understand Isaiah. You're not going to get Jeremiah. You're not getting Ezekiel, because they all talk about this. That's the problem. Okay? I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm just stating it. Next. It is over the entire world. I mean, that's a given. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 72. Lord willing, we'll talk about this psalm in future weeks. Psalm 72, please. You find it? Let's start in verse 10. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isle shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. I mean, this is talking about the Messiah. All kings, all nations shall serve him. Then it even gives you some why. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. And precious shall their blood be in his sight. Let's see here. Verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. And all nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God. The Lord God of Israel, who only doeth wonderful things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. So you see, this is a universal thing. It's not one little corner. Some people will say, everything that was promised was fulfilled in Solomon. Look at me. Solomon's kingdom at its largest was about that big compared to what we think of. Little bitty place. So don't think, you know, Solomon was wealthy. God raised up David and Solomon at a particular time, but it was a little bitty place compared to America. All these promises, worldwide dominion, every one of them. So, of the Messiah, on the earth, from Jerusalem, over the entire world, for 1,000 years, with life, liberty, and justice for all. And my friend, there will never be life, liberty, and justice for all in a perfect way until that day. And then also it will come out of the pure worship of God. That is every place taught. Now, what we're going to do quickly in about 15 minutes, because I'm going to get done early today. Nancy, are you holding me to that? All right. The millennium is built on three concepts. Let me write this on the board. You'll get the other two in future weeks. The first concept is number one, which is, what does it say? Purpose of creation. And there are more than one. And we will hurry into this in a moment. The other two are simply this, the promises. You don't have to write this down because I'm going to give you this in the future. There are the promise or the covenants that God makes. And number three, there are the prophecies. And I would say these prophecies are both, they're Old Testament primarily, but they're also New Testament prophecies too. Now, we dealt with Revelation 20 for about 2 weeks. Revelation 20 is the least significant portion dealing with the millennium. It only gives you one piece of information, which is 1,000 years. That's really the big piece of information it gives you. Most of this stuff is taught throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament in many places, and you get the promises, of course, your Old Testament, that are fulfilled in Christ, and the prophecies are every place you look. So, God's purpose is in creation. Let's read this together. I'll read it, you read along silently. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Those are the same concepts, folks. The Imago Dei is all that is. And let them have dominion over the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, created he him. Male and female created he them. So we know pretty straight up front that God not only created us, but he created us in his image, and that includes who? Male and. So women are not less than men, men are not more than women, or vice versa, which we've come to today. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And that is the wrong English word. The word should be fill the earth. It says replenish, that's fine. I'm not going to focus on that, but it is absolutely wrong. There was nothing to replenish. The earth had just been created. And it goes on to say, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Then, in chapter 2, where portions of the creation story are told from a different angle, it says in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden for the purposes of dressing and keeping it. There's an element of protection. There's an element of productivity is the ideas in there. And then, of course, he tells them, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? So, what are the purposes of creation? Well, let's go down to some real basic ideas. First of all, God created man and woman. God created man and woman. I think we're pretty familiar with that. Next, God created man and woman in his image after his likeness. I use this phrase because it's long history in theology. The Imago Dei, which simply means the image of God. It's Latin, but it's the same concept. The image of God. We're not going to talk about what all that means, but we know that God created us in that sense. Next, God created man and woman to have dominion. And look at me, friend. This is where the millennial idea comes. So when Adam and Eve were created, they weren't created with a 75-inch curved TV to put their feet up. They were actually created to work. Do you understand how an oxymoron, two ideas that don't fit together, a Christian who doesn't work? Because from the beginning, God created us not for, look at me, I'm all for pleasure, I'm all for all. He created us to have dominion, to do things. Now, I'm going to list some of those dominion ideas. None of these are really philosophical, folks. They're right in the text. Things such as this, marriage, multiplying. So that means, on the whole, God created most people for marriage and to multiply, otherwise have children. Subduing the earth. I would say also protecting the earth. I think protecting the earth is a very important concept. Within limits. We don't worship Mother Earth or none of that foolishness, but we do recognize that we have some things to protect, things God has given us. And there is a verse, and I never can get it. Where is it at? And the answer is, I don't know. How about this? That last Genesis 2:15 talks about dressing it and keeping it. In some way, God created mankind in the beginning to bring forth the beauty and productivity of this earth. So God kind of put us here in the beginning to have dominion. And when I say beauty, I do mean beauty and productivity. All of these were things God was interested in from the very beginning of time. Next in your notes, man and woman lost that dominion in the what? Now, I want everyone to look up here. because I'm not interested in you filling in blanks. Remember, your blanks are of no value to me. If you can't reason through this, then you haven't learned what I'm reasoning with you from the Scripture. Here's the point. God created us in the image of God. He created us to have dominion. What happened to that dominion? Now you're starting to understand something. Why do we have to have a millennium? Because God's original purposes of creation weren't fulfilled. They will be fulfilled, but they're not fulfilled. Got it? There's a reasoning process here. God created us to do some things. The fall messed that up. And guess what's going to happen? There has to be a time and a place, look at me, on earth, not out there pie in the sky someplace, where God's original purposes are fulfilled. We call that the millennium. Thank you. Let's read this together. Genesis 3. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art what? But specifically above all cattle, which means this, the cattle are cursed too, yes? Is there anything that escaped the curse? No. Above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It's a great verse, but I don't have time to deal with the details. 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. One of the most disputed verses in all the Bible. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And boy, there's more questions about that verse, because how often do you find the man in charge in a home? We'll move on. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the what? For thy sake, because of what you did. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So man and woman lost this dominion in an absolute way in the fall. Look at me, friend. I called my older sister yesterday, talking to her about a specific event. I prepared two sermons for this morning. I'm only going to preach one. I prepared two sermons, but I'm sorry, buddy. You're just going to get the outline as good as I can do. Called my sister for a specific reason, and she said, I just walked in the door. My sister has a nice farm, 80 acres. That's not big or anything. It's not even a farm. You can't farm on 80 acres today. I'd say 75 acres are flat. She rents most of it out, and they plant corn, but there's about 20 to 21 or 2 acres that my sister manicures. I mean, if you've been there, you've been there. It's like, Rita, why do you do this? Well, I'm just going to tell you this. Those 20 acres don't cut themselves. You got to get out there, and she's cutting trees and bushes and briars and, and this, now she's retired, this is her job, 20 plus acres. So when you drive in there, you see this yard, and you're like, I haven't seen many yards. If you've ever been to an American cemetery, like in Manila or like in Normandy, it's that kind of manicure. You're like, do you worship that grass? What's wrong with you? You say, do you manicure yours? Yes, I do. I hire somebody to manicure it for me. My friend, there is no dominion today. Have you ever been frustrated in work? Have you ever given your soul to something and see it not come to fruition? Mrs. Hall's 33rd birthday. She has been teaching here more than 33 years. I don't know how that works. She is really good. And she's into new math, so somehow she can do that. You know, I'm guessing she's had a few students that never panned out. She worked just as hard for them. That's part of the curse. Welcome to reality. You know, since I've been here, Our friends back in the back, Sam, you, and Nello, you guys can't imagine upstairs in the gym. When I came here, the lights were light about that big and about that big around. They cost, I think, $750, I think. We replaced a few. And if you turned them on, it took 15 minutes for them to come back on. I can remember when we replaced those. I thought we were in heaven. Now we have replaced the replacements. And they're better and cheaper. You never end. You know that? By the way, you buy a house, what do? You don't buy a house. You buy a house to work on the house for the rest of your adult life. Is that correct? You say, I'm going to buy a new house. Good luck. Man. Somebody didn't like what I was saying. Quickly in your notes, please. That dominion has been contested in various forms since the fall. And you say, what do you mean by that? My friend, you have in your notes some verses that you have never noticed in your adult life. That's okay. You probably shouldn't notice them. But they're very unique verses. So we'll read just the highlighted portion. Verse 14. It says, but I will settle him in mine house, in my kingdom forever. So when Solomon was reigning, he was really reigning for God. That's that dominion. Verse 5 of chapter 28. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of who? See, that's a good thing to recognize, that even the greatest of kings represented someone else. Let's skip all the way down to 2 Chronicles 9:8. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee in on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God. That's interesting, isn't it? Chapter 13:8. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David. You see, what you have in the beginning of time is really something simple. God's original purposes were for mankind to have dominion on this earth. We lost that dominion in the sense of the curse. We'll never have the dominion God intended. But God did appoint a family, the Davidic family, and that kingdom was to represent God. How did that kingdom do? It eventually fell apart in 586 BC. There has never been anything that fulfilled that God's original purpose. Lastly, that dominion will be fully restored. And I do believe it will be fully restored in Christ during the millennium. That dominion will be fully restored in Christ during the millennium. So here's the principle that I have reasoned with you about. Are you ready for it? What was lost on earth must be recovered on earth. Can't be recovered in some faraway place. It has to be recovered on earth. So it's in your notes. What we lost on earth must be recovered on earth. So we're going to read and specifically pay attention to this 1 Corinthians 15 passage, and I will be done. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. You're even getting the same thing here. If man caused this, a man had to be the one that solved this. Verse 22, for as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all those that are in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after they that are Christ in his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till when? Till he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him. Look up here at the board. There's these purposes of creation that God gave us that we lost. What was lost on earth must be regained on earth. It ain't going to happen because of me and you. It's not happening now. We're not bringing the millennium. Christ is going to do this. So then, when all things are ultimately subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And that's the beginning of eternity, the new heavens and the new earth. Father, bless your word this morning, I ask in Christ's name.